Friday, May 18th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant, independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. So there is a lot to go over today, so I will do my best to keep it as concise as possible, but I want to really include all the information that's pertinent in regard to a lot of different ongoing stories. And really the overarching note for today is in regard to all of these cases, it is so very important that we do not jump to conclusions without facts to theorize from, to basically create narratives based on things we want to be the case, which is something that is seemingly infecting everybody across the internet today. And that's very important that we need to wait for the right information before we start spreading our theories as if they were fact. That's something that's very dangerous today, and it's something that we see the mainstream media doing on a regular basis. So as always, like I always try to say, is us in the independent media, we have to be better than that. We have to wait for the right information. We can discuss things that are coming out, but to jump to different theories and create context around it based on something that is completely hypothetical is just irresponsible. So all of these stories moving forward, I will give you my best insight on the information we have and where I think it's going. Other than that, as always, come to your own conclusions. So the first story is one that's breaking, that's all over the news today, which is really consuming all the mainstream outlets. And this is coming from ZeroHedge.com. At least 10 dead in shooting at Texas high school. Shooter in custody. So I want to begin by making two very important points in regard to this case. And first, so far as I can tell, with the information I've seen so far, this very much seems like a real event, and people were injured and people were killed. And that is most definitely a tragedy, and that definitely deserves our discussion and our attention, and is very much worthy of being covered by the news. But we have to stand back and take note of the fact that the mainstream media tends to use these stories and basically eclipse everything else going on. And again, that doesn't mean this is not an important story. It just means that there's also a lot of very important things going on today specifically that are completely being eclipsed by this story. And it really does need to give you an insight into their it leads mentality. And the second point to make is that people who come out and even simply question these events and ask, you know, was this staged? Was this a hoax? Is what I'm seeing real? Are immediately dismissed as just being crazy or insensitive or any number of things. But with what we know today, with what we've proven, with what we've seen in our very recent past, it is irresponsible to not simply ask yourself if you're being misled by the media. Discussing any number of things, such as the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act, and knowing that propaganda, fake stories, are literally legal for the United States government to carry out. So to not at least ask yourself if what we are seeing could possibly be fake is irresponsible. But as I said, from what I've seen so far, this definitely seems like a real event. But it should not be dismissed that people are giving it their time, or it should not be dismissed as insensitive either, knowing that we've been misled in the past, for these people to give their time to try to figure out whether or not there's anything that we should be asking questions about. So that being said, the information so far, it seems that about 7:45 a.m., fire alarms went off, and students left their classrooms. Some students believed that they had heard shots fired. One student who spoke with reporters described the day as like any other until somebody pulled the fire alarm and students started lining up outside per the fire drill protocol. Now, it's important right there. Even that note, people are misusing and making it seem like, oh, another drill was taking place, which I've often pointed out that almost always with some of these staged events, there's always drills going on simultaneously. This is not the same thing. This seems like somebody simply pulled the fire alarm and they came out for what is typically a fire drill. Now, it goes on to say, then suddenly gunshots rang out. A student is quoted as saying, quote, so it was just like a normal day in class. We were all doing our work in first period, and then all of a sudden, it's like a fire drill. Not even 5 minutes later, we start hearing gunshots. That's when everybody starts running, despite teachers telling them to stay put. But we all just started running anyway. The suspected shooter was a 17-year-old Santa Fe student, and I'm not going to say his name because I don't like to do that because ultimately you're simply giving them what they want. Now, in addition, an explosive device was found at the school, and another device was found in an off-campus location. 10 were reportedly killed on this shooting. One police officer was shot responding to the attack, and apparently 13 others, and I guess that number is kind of fluctuating, have been taken to the hospital. 8 were treated for gunshot wounds. There were some screenshots of his Facebook page that were shown before it was taken down, with showing basically shirts saying "Born to Kill." There's reports of social media pages that were associated with him that essentially revealed that he was obsessed with guns and knives and animal torture. So if this is to be believed, clearly this is a troubled individual. They also showed that he owned a trench coat with the USSR Nazi medals on it, which I find very interesting. That's, you know, an important point there, which he wore to school every day, reportedly, even when it was 90 plus degrees. It's also that apparently revealed that the school's coaches were picking on him quite a bit. It always seems to be a bullying aspect. But one point I want to make quickly is that just because somebody dresses this way and acts outside the norm does not mean that they are a danger, which I feel like they're trying to create this kind of persona for someone that we should be watching out for, which is a very dangerous thing to do. Now, apparently his Facebook page also appears to suggest an obsession with Satanism. So again, this kid's clearly troubled. And so we should understand that all the political agendas flying around this as usual, this kid just simply seems like a troubled individual. Apparently he used a sawed-off shotgun and a .38 revolver in the attack. Both belonged to his father. So again, it just goes to show you that gun laws ultimately play no factor here, even though that's what's continually being pushed. Because if he was breaking the law in the first place, he's probably not going to follow gun laws. And the father, who was following gun laws, he simply just took his father's guns. So it's never about the gun laws, which they always try to frame it as. It's about people who are willing to go to great lengths to do things like this, regardless of the laws. Now, according to information contained within the suspected shooter's journals on his computer and on his cell phone as well, he said he wanted to commit suicide after the attack. Instead, he gave himself up and is currently at the Santa Fe Police Department right now. A second person, an 18-year-old, is also apparently in custody, believed to be a possible accomplice to the suspected gunman. And according to the law officials, he was not part of the shooting, but is suspected to be an accomplice. So we'll see how that plays out as well. Now, Nancy Pelosi and many others, wasting no time, immediately jumped to using this within hours to further their political agenda by continuing ignorantly to assert their idea that more gun laws will stop those who break the law, which doesn't really make sense, and using this to indirectly claim that Trump's lack of leadership was to blame. Now, as this story continues to develop, I have no doubt that more things will come out, more connections will come out, you know, whether he was on medications, whether he had any kind of connection to the FBI. These seem to always be these common threads that we find in regard to these shootings. As of yet, I haven't seen anything else develop. I will be sure to follow up and let you know if anything else comes out. But it's also important to point out, like I said, this is one that sticks with me, that a story like this just kind of seems to pop up right at the time when a lot of other important things are going on. Could be coincidence. I'm not trying to immediately jump to a conclusion that this was created, simply showing you that it's more than likely being pushed forward when there's a lot of shootings all over this country all the time to simply cover a lot of other things going on. Moving to the next story, and one that's very important that I've kind of held back from covering so far because there's a lot of misinformation flying around. The video I'm going to discuss is coming from Chris Simpson's YouTube channel. It's entitled "Unsealed Anthony Weiner Search Warrant Exposes Weiner Gave Private Firm Electronics in FBI Probe." Now, in this video, Chris is going over a New York Post article which discusses a recently unsealed search warrant from 2016. Now, there's a lot of important information here, but at the same time, there is even more misinformation and false claims highly circulating this. Anytime that it has to do with Clinton and pedophilia or any of these number of cases that can be related back to Pizzagate or any of this stuff, the QAnon crowd comes around with all kinds of conjecture that muddies the waters. And I think that's what we're seeing in regard to this more than anything I've seen before. Of course, heralding as being the storm is here. We've all been calling this, even though they've said that many times to date and it hasn't come to pass. But so now we're seeing this case, which is indeed very important. But to me, there's two very important points to bring up in this case specifically. First, that is that they made clear in this article, which it stems from kind of an anonymous source, but we're looking into finding more information of that we'll get back to you with. But the idea is that apparently Weiner handed over his laptop, his iPhone, and other devices to a private firm called Granite Intelligence 3 days before the search warrant was signed. And so essentially the claim was he was afraid of being raided, so he handed it over to this intelligence firm. Now, their motto is, quote, committed to resolving our clients' problems with intelligence, integrity, and discretion. Now, to me, that really seems like an opportunity to manipulate what they have for their clients before they facilitate the handing over of the information to the FBI. So it screams manipulation. And I've been discussing this stuff with the Honeybee at length, and she's really, this is what she does. And if you don't know her work, I highly recommend you go to her YouTube channel and her Twitter page and really see what she's getting into. But what we talked about is essentially that there was a period of time, even between this, when the warrant was signed and when it was supposed to be executed, there was about a week time or even more before they're required to hand over the information. So there's a lot of leeway there where things could have been manipulated. Now, the second point, and really the biggest point, in my opinion, is that the now unsealed warrants that we're looking at show that ultimately the NYPD did not have the laptop and other devices prior to being handed over to the FBI from Granite. It essentially went to Granite Intelligence, which then handed it over to the FBI, which, surprise, surprise, contradicts all the anonymous sources and NYPD insiders quoted by disinformation outlets such as True Pundit and then reported on by people like the SGT report as some evidence that the storm is here, claiming to have insight into what was on these devices, such as videos and other such dirt on Clinton's. That one of the articles he discusses in this video is essentially saying that NYPD source says Wiener laptop has enough evidence to put Clinton away for life. And goes on to say that other NYPD sources, anonymous, of course, say that these emails include evidence linking Clinton and her associates to money laundering, child exploitation, sex crimes with minors, perjury, pay to play through the Clinton Foundation, obstruction of justice, other felony crimes, and on. And this is the kind of thing we've been seeing, but now we're seeing with the information that's been released that essentially it went from Granite to the FBI. There's no NYPD connection here. They're not in the chain of evidence as far as I can tell. Now, it's possible that I'm missing something, but this has been reported on by a few others, and it really needs to show us that all these claims of insiders and anonymous information that kind of seem to always support anything that Q is saying, is it needs to give us some insight into the way people are being manipulated. Now, as I said, I've been speaking with Honeybee at length, and we're kind of diving into this more information, or she is more so than me or anybody really, and I'm just trying to get what I can from her information and share it with you guys. But what we're seeing here is one more point that's very interesting, that apparently in this new information we're seeing, these new documents, there appears to be no laptop included in this new paperwork at all. So we see the information handed over to Granite. It's on their information that there was a laptop listed. But in the new unsealed documents, as far as we can tell, there's no laptop included in that. That's a very big deal there as well. But all this information, we really need to stand back and begin to realize how easily people are being manipulated by claiming that they, you know, having anonymous sources that back up what Q just said and then getting clicks and views. It's this very dangerous story. Now, there's a lot of things going on here that are very important that I hope actually have ties to Hillary Clinton. There's a lot of information that does relate back to the Clintons that we've seen from the past that's already verified, but nothing's happened. So I'd like to see more come of it, but I'm going to wait for the facts, as we all should. Moving on to the next story coming from the antimedia.com. If U.S. foreign policy were consistent, America would be bombing Israel right now. The Syrian conflict, we have been told, began as part of the Arab Spring and really took hold when Syrian government forces allegedly opened fire on protesters across the country in early 2011. This pattern of indiscriminate violent behavior against civilians has been a talking point in the Western media's regime change narrative. The media often goes as far as to claim that the government led by Bashar al-Assad has lost all legitimacy. Then what should we make of Israel's decision to open fire on protesters in the Gaza Strip this past week, killing over 60 protesters and wounding 2,700 more in the process? According to the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, Israel is not an aggressor at all, but a country that has shown considerable restraint in its use of force. Despite the claim that most of the dead were Hamas members, the fact that 2,700 people were injured suggests Israel deployed lethal forces upon thousands of protesters. Not exactly what comes to mind when one thinks of the word restraint. Even purposely shooting one unarmed protester seems to contradict everything we're supposed to believe about human rights and democracy. Israel has been documented shooting down unarmed protesters, including women, children, journalists, and first responders, all the reasons we are told we should despise Assad. What could be more cowardly than shooting down people who are protesting their right to have basic human rights? And for those who want to paint the people of Gaza as the real terrorists in this entire dilemma, consider that these people have been living in what is widely regarded as an open-air prison for years. According to an expert hydrologist, 97% of Gaza's drinking water has been contaminated by sewage and salt. For most of last year, residents in Gaza were receiving 3 to 4 hours of electricity per day, the flow of which is controlled by Israel. On a bad day, some estimates suggest Gazians have received as little as 2 hours of electricity per day, despite the intense heat in Gaza. The author finishes by saying, "Call me an Assad apologist if you like, but what I'm actually suggesting here is that if we were to apply the Israeli model to Assad, there'd be no basis to even begin criticizing Assad for something American taxpayers support just across the ditch from Syria. And further, that what Israel is doing by humanitarian standards is actually arguably worse than anything Assad could ever hope to achieve." This is not to say that Assad is not, as The Intercept's Mehdi Hassan forcefully wants us to remember, a war criminal, but then this is the real hypocrisy at play here. If Assad is a vile war criminal, so is the Israeli government. And this is something we've gone to a great lengths to show you, that it's especially something that I often point out, that no one is innocent in this game. These governments all have their points of manipulation and deception. But in the case we're looking at hand here, not only is there extreme hypocrisy taking place between what they call Syria out for and what Israel's doing verifiably, but the fact that what Israel is doing has been so well documented, and that we've seen this ongoing for such a very long time, that there's absolutely no way you can call this anything other than what it is. And to further make that point, Partisan Girl put out a tweet today showing very clearly how an aid worker helping a wounded man was being beaten up by the IDF. There's really no other way to see how these things play out. There's a lot of hatred here in regard to the Palestinians and vice versa. What we're seeing carried out is just absolute human rights violations at the hand of the IDF and Israel, with zero regard for international law, and while everyone else seems to cover for them for a lot of different reasons. But that's for you to decide on what those are. Moving on to the next story coming from ZeroHedge.com. Clapper says, good thing FBI was spying on Trump campaign. Now, this is another story that's ongoing today, that's something that I've kind of avoided discussing for the most part, because there's a lot of, as always with these kind of cases, there's a lot of really partisan discussions happening and misinformation on both sides of the aisle. But this is important, because this is definitely something that's been happening. And I think it's nothing really new to understand that the FBI or the intelligence community spies on basically everyone, including presidential candidates. What we're seeing here is that Clapper just admitted to it. So Clapper ultimately admitted that the FBI, quote, may have had someone who was talking to them in the Trump campaign. He tried to explain it away by saying ultimately the FBI informant was spying on the campaign as the Bureau was trying to find out, quote, what the Russians were doing to try to substantiate themselves in the campaign or influence or leverage it. Which is kind of interesting, because that seems like the go-to today, to just kind of, you just yell the Russians and everything you did makes sense, which is pretty damn ridiculous. He then went on to say, so if there was someone that was observing that sort of thing, that's a good thing. He then concluded by saying that he believes it's hugely dangerous if someone like that is exposed, because the danger to that person and the potential reluctance of others to be informants for the FBI could possibly devastate the FBI. So in other words, don't try to find out who the spy was, because it's just too dangerous to national security. And from Fox, Sarah Carter, which I don't often agree with anything the mainstream media has to say, but I do agree with what she said. She said, wait, Clapper, the leaker who denied the intelligence community was being used to spy on the Trump campaign, now says it was a good thing. Unfettered power. It just, and that is a good point because it's something we often make, even in regard to the idea that Clapper is admittedly committed perjury in front of Congress and nothing ever happened. And that the statute of limitations just ran out and never got in trouble for it. So now again, we're seeing him say, basically he openly said that that didn't happen. And now that it's out, he's just saying, oh, yes, it did, but it's a good thing because the Russians, right? I mean, these stories are just so absurd. And everyone continues to try to frame it in their partisan divide. And that's what we have to get away from. All of this is always trying to be forced into this left-right paradigm. And it goes much bigger than that. It's about the establishment and what they're trying to accomplish and manipulate the way we see things. But this is a very important story as it relates to the FBI spying on everybody, as it relates to the FBI spying on the Trump campaign, as it relates to Clapper openly lying about it. There's a lot of important points to take away there. Moving on to the next story coming from the freethoughtproject.com and the final story for the day, elite now bragging about using penis skin taken from babies to make their faces look younger. This is a story that is wild, and it's one of those titles that you just kind of go, well, that can't be true. Like, most people just laugh it off and say this is just some crazy grabbing headline, but this is really what this is all about. Now, the Free Thought Project is reporting on this case where essentially Kate Blanchett and Sandra Bullock have made headlines recently by revealing their, quote, secret to maintaining young and healthy-looking skin. The duo have nicknamed the procedure the penis facial due to the fact that the serum used in this process is derived from the foreskin of Korean babies. Now, really, that's really what this is. That this is real information, and it does sound pretty outlandish. Now, known as officially as the Hollywood EGF, the epidural growth factor facial, so-called penis facials have earned the nickname not just because the process smells like sperm, but because it requires a serum derived from the cells of the foreskin of newborn babies. That's just absolutely horrifying. Now, there's a bunch of different things to include in this story. One, that we've talked about this idea of things like blood boys, and you know, it's a verifiable fact today. The idea and the science has all been discussed by mainstream media about infusing young blood into the blood of older men or women to make them effectively make them younger. And this is very real research going on. And then it has to give you an insight into what might be happening to be able to acquire this kind of blood and use it. Black market information. These things are very real. But now we're talking about foreskin, which is something that is taken away, which has wholly been revealed to be a wholly unnecessary process today, but is taken away and then used after the fact, which is kind of an alarming idea because I guarantee you that kind of thing is not allowed or signed away by the parents. They're probably just left to assume that those things get disposed of, but instead they're being used to make facials for elite individuals to make them look younger. It's just kind of disgustingly alarming. And that also brings truth to a story we just talked about. We recently touched on the story of baby Alfie and the Alder Hey Hospital in Liverpool, where he was essentially allowed to die despite his parents' wishes. And that this very hospital in this story openly admitted to taking organs from live children and selling them to pharmaceutical companies in exchange for cash. Now, if you doubt that's true, this is straight from The Guardian. Allegations that the troubled Alder Hey Hospital in Liverpool sold human tissue to a French drug company for use in one of its profit-making products yesterday caused a further public outcry over the apparently cavalier attitude of the medical professionals to patients' bodies. Quote, just days before the publication of a report on the removal and storage of hundreds of children's organs at Alder Hey Hospital, without parents' knowledge, it emerged that supplies of the thymus gland, which is routinely removed during cardiac surgery to give better access to the heart, were regularly handed over to pharmaceutical company Aventis Pasteur in exchange for cash donations to the hospital. Now, I think it's important that I say donations, right? Because if they were paying for them, that all of a sudden becomes a lot bigger deal. So they're basically saying, here, just don't give us these things and we'll later donate money to you. But this is a very clear for-profit effort happening where they're taking, I would say illegally, even though they're not, there's probably this really ambiguous moment where they take these things out of people for surgical processes, and then they probably just assume they're being thrown away. And the hospital says, oh, well, we have them, so we'll sell them to these companies. But what that gives you is a clear profit motive. A clear profit motive to possibly take that out when it may not be necessary, so to then sell it. That's an alarming prospect there. And I raised this in the idea of Alfie, of asking the simple logical question of whether cases like his, where they're essentially brain dead and they're questioning whether to pull the plug, and whether that then motivates them to say, okay, let's pull the plug, you know, before we've done everything, so we can use the organs and sell them to other pharmaceutical companies. I mean, that's a very real thing to ask. And now we're talking about foreskins of children being used on facials for the elite. And you know, it's just, these things are alarming. And we have to see where these things are headed and the way that they're being used, and that we're not being told the real stories. I know that seems a little outlandish, but then so does using foreskins to make you look younger. So does stealing organs from dying children to give them to pharmaceutical companies. These are all very real documented things that are happening. So we need to begin to expand our minds to the way that these things are working today. And really, we cannot continue to ignore these connections to this idea of whether you're talking about child trafficking and its clear connection to government-funded foster care systems and their simple profit motive to use these kids in many different ways. It becomes very clear that these things are ongoing. And we can't continue to kind of have this overshadowing idea that these are all just kind of conspiracy theory, crazy stories. With all the information we have coming out today about how very real these things are and how it's being used to benefit an elite few. So all of this stuff is going on, all these ongoing stories and breaking news, and then boom, another school shooting happens. Now, I don't want to always assume that something like this is being created, which I don't doubt is possible, like I've said many times in the past, as we've proven the FBI has in fact created things just like this for many different reasons. That's a verifiable fact, but at the very least, is being used to push forward to cover everything you're seeing on the mainstream media to avoid talking about any number of the stories we talked about today. And it's also very important that we never jump to conclusions based on incomplete information, conjecture, and guesswork, as is the vast majority of this Q phenomenon. Yes, that is actually still around, despite being revealed by many great researchers without question to have been manipulated. And I would still contend possibly, likely all along. We can always theorize when we have facts to work with, but completely constructing a narrative based on nothing, that's not investigation, that's fantasy. And we are now seeing that much of their discussion in regard to the Wiener case stems from those willing to take advantage of their gullibility to get views and clicks and claim that they have insider sources that confirm whatever Q said. This case is a very big deal, as all of the stories are we discussed today. And we'll continue to discuss these as they move forward, but we have to begin to see how much these cases are being overshadowed by the recent shooting taking place. But as always, I will wait for the actual facts to develop and come to my own conclusions. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.